Erica McIntyre, Jason's Connections Content Director. Today, our founder, Jason Harris, will be talking with Alyssa Huber, a film student and documentary filmmaker who has Asperger's Syndrome.
Hi, thanks for joining us today.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm 24 years old, and I've been studying film at Judson University, but I have a wide range of hobbies that I could talk about forever, but I won't because it's an extremely long list. So,
when did you get diagnosed with Asperger's Syndrome?
I was diagnosed when I was 12 years old. At the time, I was in middle school. It was my first time in public school because I had been homeschooled before then. And I guess to my parents, my quirkiness was just kind of a normal thing, but my teachers noticed at my school, my teachers noticed that I was different and that I ranted a lot and I seemed kind of socially oblivious. I also liked to meow like a cat in class, which was kind of odd. So that prompted my parents to get me a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get into filmmaking?
Well, since I was really young, I have always wanted to make movies, even before I had a camera when I was like 9 years old. I mean, who could afford a camera at that age, except in, you know, the current time, you probably can. But when I was younger, I had written a script for a movie that was supposed to be like a superhero space-themed movie. I never produced it, though, because I didn't have a camera. But later on, when I was about 15, my Aspie obsession was pirates, so I wanted to make a movie about pirates, and I had a camera, so I did make the movie with about 20 or so people that I knew who volunteered, and ever since then, I've been wanting to make videos, not so much really long movies, because that was such a huge thing, and it took so long, it was so much work, but yeah, so since then, I've been making short films here and there.
Oh, cool. So, one of the big things that's come up recently, what do you think about the controversy over Asperger's syndrome since its elimination in the DSM-5?
Personally, I'm still attached to the term Asperger's because it was my diagnosis. And it does kind of differentiate between like the higher functioning and the lower functioning, but nowadays, I actually think it's not as big of a deal because Asperger's is on the autism spectrum, so it can be categorized as autism. The only issue, I think, is just with the stigma that has to do with autism, so like the label of autism, because there, I think, especially back then, like, I don't know how many years ago, but when it first came out, there was a lot more negative stigma around it. And I also think that making it just autism might make diagnosis a little bit more difficult because it's such a wide spectrum. But other than that, I guess I'm kind of neutral on it for the most part because it is part of autism.
Mm-hmm. And so you're going to school for film. What are your goals for your work in film?
Well, one of my goals is to become a YouTuber and make videos for a living. Because I've always been a huge YouTube user. I'm always watching funny videos on YouTube, and I've noticed there are a lot of professional YouTubers like PewDiePie and Jenna Marbles and Markiplier and all these other people, and they actually make money from what they do, and I'm like, hey, I want to do that. That looks like fun. So currently, I'm making short videos for YouTube on Asperger's syndrome. I also do gaming videos, but it's probably going to be a while before I reach the point where I actually make that a career. But if I had to choose any career aside from YouTubing, which I might have to, I want to do anything video editing, whether it's promotionals or commercials or shows or video shorts. I'm not terribly picky.
Cool. So, I mean, you talk about this in your film and through your videos. How does Asperger's affect you in your daily life?
Well, I have two major issues that I think are, I guess, the most intense for me. One of them is sensory problems. I'm a little oversensitive to my environment. My senses are pretty much more heightened than other people's. So I have specific things that bother me, like fluorescent lights. I cannot stand those. So I would wear sunglasses in Walmart sometimes, because the lights in Walmart are terrible. Other than that, like I have a very, this one's actually a little more complex, but like my sense of touch is sensitive, but it like encapsulates so much of my issues. Like I'll wake up in the morning and I'll feel really weird because I can feel the hairs on my head, and I mean, like it's weird trying to feel like where my body is in space sometimes. If I, especially in sensory overload, I'll be like not sure what's going on or where my arms are. And also another big issue I have is obsessive thinking. And I've questioned whether I have OCD because of this. Like I cannot shut my brain off. I can't stop thinking about things repetitively sometimes, and I have to consciously work to control it so I can not get distracted and focus on my work. And a lot of my Asperger's stuff, I know that a lot of other people on the spectrum probably can relate, but a lot of my symptoms kind of overlap each other. So I might be thinking obsessively about a sensory issue I'm having. And this is one reason why I thought I might have OCD. I wash my face like 20 times a day because my face just doesn't feel right, and like it feels really weird and tingly, or like I got bugs on it or something. So I cannot focus on my work unless I go and wash my face, and I have to feel completely comfortable. But those are my main two problems. I still have some social issues. I guess I mentioned those two first because they're kind of what I deal with more so every day, because I avoid people for the most part. But in social situations, I occasionally will misinterpret what someone says, and they might misinterpret what I say because I'm not, like, verbal speaking isn't like my preference. So I might use the wrong words and they'll like misinterpret it wrong, or I might use the wrong tone. But sometimes I'll seem to be like overreacting about what somebody says because I thought they meant something else, because people with Asperger's generally don't have what someone says and then what it means might be different than what they say. And people with Asperger's, I think, like, I don't have that as much. I'll usually say what I mean. That sometimes I'll be reading into what someone without Asperger's is saying and think, okay, it could mean this, it could mean this, it could mean that. I don't know. I pick one and then I react accordingly, and then sometimes I get it wrong and feel kind of stupid. But luckily that doesn't happen terribly often nowadays because I've had more practice. So, but those are all my Asperger's issues.
Are there ways that Asperger's affect you in a positive way?
Yes, actually. I guess I've gotten used to mentioning the negatives because those are the ones that people tend to notice more. But there's a lot of positives. Like, because I do have heightened senses, I guess I could say I have a very rich perception of the world. Like, I might be able to enjoy just staring at, you know, the ripples in a pond more than, you know, the typical person who might look in there and just be like, oh, look, it's water, and then, like, move on with their day. So as long as I'm, like, limiting what sensory input I get, I can really enjoy what I'm experiencing. Like, music, for instance, is a really wonderful thing for me, and looking at art and vibrant colors. When I'm having a good day, I might actually seem like I'm kind of high because, like, if I'm on drugs or something. I mean, I don't take drugs, but it seems like I am sometimes because I'm I'm like, oh, this music's awesome, or oh, this tastes so good, or, you know, just random things like that. Another one of my strengths, though, is I'm very good at staying focused for long periods of time. Not many people know this, but when I make a video, I stay up all night to make it, like 12 hours straight, sitting on my computer editing. And I will get up to take breaks because it's necessary, but like when I only have one task in a day, I can get it done very, very thoroughly and well because I can focus for so long. So yeah, those are a couple positives that I have.
Cool. Now, I mean, in the last 5 years, there's been a lot of films being made about autism or Asperger's. What do you think sets yours apart?
Well, I have noticed a lot of other documentaries on autism. And I'm talking documentaries, not so much like, you know, movies, because I'm not getting into movies as much. But I've noticed a lot of documentaries tend to focus on children on the spectrum as if it's just a childhood disorder, but mine is focused on young adults, and I think that's one difference. Another difference is I guess that mine isn't just talking heads. Like, I know there are some really good documentaries and Asperger's out there that are, you know, have like all these animations and really cool things to look at, but also at least half of the documentaries I've seen are just talking heads. And mine. I wanted to make it entertaining, so I tried to fill it with just visually rich like footage. And I don't remember if I put any animations in there, but I guess it's different because it's not just like an informative thing. It's also entertaining. I don't mean to like brag, but I've been told it is. So.
Well, and it seems like in some ways, because it's coming from people being made by somebody who can relate to the subjects, like any, like a lot of films that have that, it's somewhat experiential as well.
Oh yeah, that is another thing. Forgot about that one. Yeah, like a lot of documentaries out there are made by people without autism, and so I thought I should make it from the perspectives of people on the spectrum. It just makes more sense to me. Like, I think they should honestly do that with every documentary on anything. Like, if you want to make a documentary about, like, seniors in a nursing home, seniors in a nursing home should be a part of the film and, like, be helping make that. It just kind of adds to the accuracy, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. You have two different versions that you can see. You have the one on YouTube and then the one that's on DVD. Can you talk about some of the things that you can see on the DVD that you can't necessarily see on YouTube?
Well, the version on YouTube is only 32 minutes versus the DVD version, which is 50 minutes long. And the YouTube version has 3 individuals on the spectrum, and the DVD version has 7 individuals on the spectrum. And also on the DVD there is bonus interviews from experts and parents, because there was honestly like a lot of really good input that I got that I couldn't possibly include into the documentary, so I put it on the DVD. Also, I would like to mention that there will be a showing of the extended version of my film at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles on April 19th. It's for Autism Awareness Month, and admission is totally free. I'm just throwing it out there because really everybody is invited, because I just want to spread awareness of Asperger's.
Yeah, that's really cool. Is there anywhere, is that the only place you'll be showing soon, or is there any other places that will be showing after that?
Currently, that is the only place that it will be showing at. I mean, people can request, they can request showings if they want to, but so far this is the only one. So it's at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles, April 19th at 7 p.m. So all you have to do is on my website, alyssahuberfilms.com, if the link still works, just search Alyssa Huber Films in Google, and under events, you just register to reserve a seat, and it's free. You just got to make sure you've got a seat.
Cool. And one of your short films, you talk about people on the spectrum who seem quote-unquote normal, and then there's other concepts of normal. And what do you think about people on the spectrum who try to hide that maybe they're on the spectrum to appear more normal?
Well, it's understandable that someone on the spectrum would want to appear more normal because, frankly, adapting to society's norms is a part of life no matter who you are or what your neurology, because if you stand out, you might be targeted or bullied. And I know a lot of people on the spectrum do get bullied when they're just freely expressing themselves, and which is really sad. It shouldn't happen, but it does. And I think in my videos, I talk about like there's kind of a balance where you should accept yourself and feel free to be yourself, but you have to make sure that you have safe people where you can express yourself. And in situations where you have to be normal, you just have to accept that you've got to be normal. Like, I'm not going to go into a job interview dressed in my pajamas because that's how I'm comfortable and be all silly and ranty as I normally am, because if I want the job, I have to put my best foot forward. Just mm-hmm. like situations like that I discuss in those videos. And I guess from personal experience, one of the things I've had to hide the most to try to be normal is like my sensory problems. So I like hardly anybody knows what I'm going through because it's like my experience is so different, and I don't want to be ridiculed because I'm bothered by the lights and nobody else is, or I'm like overwhelmed for something that seems to be really no reason when there really is a reason. So from my personal experience, I've just had to learn to internally deal with things and only share certain, especially Asperger's things, with people who understand it, like fellow Aspies and friends and my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you think that affects it? Because at some point now, the federal government wants 7% of people to record to businesses that they need accommodations to fill out diversity forms. And a lot of people I know don't feel comfortable talking about it to their employers.
Yeah. So you said that's now becoming a requirement, like they have to?
The businesses are, so part of a business diversity is that they're supposed to have hire people with disabilities, and some of that is that they need to have people who self-disclose to businesses around 7% to fill out the disability quotient. So people with disabilities don't have to, they can choose to, but businesses need to fill out those requirements, and there's a concern about getting, I would know that most people, but it has to be self-reported, so there's a thing where most people who have a disability don't feel like reporting it, how would you come at that?
In all honesty, I've talked to several people who have had different views of this. I've talked to people who don't want to disclose that they have a disability because they might lose their job, because it's just kind of a toxic workplace and they wouldn't be accepted otherwise. But I've also, like, from my experience, like, it's helped me to disclose that I have Asperger's, because then people won't be giving me work I can't do. So I think it really depends on the person, it depends on the workplace, it depends on how accommodating they are, I think, and how open the person is about it.
Mm-hmm. What do you want neurotypical people to understand about you, or people being on the spectrum, or that you would hope they other people would want neurotypical people to know that you've talked to?
Well, some people have assumed that I don't have Asperger's because I look normal. So one thing I'd want them to know is just to not make assumptions about me or anybody else. If you don't know the person, you know, don't make assumptions that they're doing fine, or even if, like, don't even make assumptions that they're struggling, even, because you don't really know how they're doing. But a lot of the times I might be struggling and other people don't see it. And then they assume, oh, I can totally handle going out to this party right now, but I can't. So so always, you know, ask someone with Asperger's how they're doing, what they need, things like that. And also, there's a lot, I guess something that's also good to know is there's a lot that a neurotypical person might not see that someone with Asperger's goes through. Like, the average person might not realize that even for like this interview, I had to mentally prepare myself. They might not realize I'm anxious when I'm talking to them, and even if it seems like I'm not anxious, I'm okay right now. I'm just kind of jittery, but most of the time I'm pretty good at seeming normal. Also, another thing, don't assume that someone is incapable just because they have a disability or some sort of label. Like I've said earlier, there's a lot of things that I'm good at, like detail-oriented work. I notice things that other people don't notice. I'm really good at keeping organized. I have a lot of traits to make up for my weaknesses. So I think people should be measured by what they're good at rather than, you know, what they're not so good at.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think one of the things that maybe people would sort of assume is that you wouldn't be in a relationship, and that's actually one of the things that you made a video about recently for Valentine's Day, is your relationship with Matt. And what is that relationship like?
Well, happy news. Matt and I are engaged now.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. We actually, for the past year, we kind of knew this was coming. I mean, we're bluntly honest Aspies, so we would go right out and tell each other, hey, I want to marry you someday. So we kind of knew that it was coming, but I'm really, really happy about it, because Matt and I, we get along remarkably. We understand each other. We communicate so well, which is something that, you know, as someone on the autism spectrum, that's really all I could ask for, because communication is such a huge issue for me. So it's so nice that the person that I am going to marry, I communicate really well with.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Yes, actually. Because the label of autism or Asperger syndrome is there to help us, like, understand or conceptualize like a group of common, I guess, needs and differences, never assume that we're all the same, because everyone's unique whether they're on the spectrum or not. And I think it's really their character that defines someone, not their label.
That's a really good point. Thank you for sharing that.
No problem. Thank you for having me here.